to a window at a McDonald's and asks for chicken McNuggets. And McDonald's says, "We don't have chicken McNuggets. It's not yet 10:30. And the person goes ballistic and starts screaming, trying to climb into the window of the drive-thru and grab the person by the throat, ends up cracking the glass and driving away in a huff. Having a very bad day. Or maybe it was another guy that I saw. He was trying to print out something on his computer at work, and for some reason they had this on camera. I think it was a video camera of surveillance of the work where the people were. And he printed out, he went to the copier, and he tried to pull out the sheet of paper, and it was blank. So he was upset. So he went back to his computer, he printed out again, he went to the copier, it was blank. So he got upset. So he opens up the copier, and he pulls out the ink cartridge. And it's full. So he shoves it back in, kind of angrily. Well, you probably know what happened. The ink cartridge blasts ink everywhere. This drove him over the edge. Literally drove him over the edge. He goes over to his desk, which you can see in the video camera, and he picks up his computer screen, goes over to the copier, puts the computer screen on the copier, and presses start. Of course, it doesn't work. It just creates even more of a mess, and people are looking at him like, okay, what's happening here? And he picks up his computer, and he starts throwing it. He picks up the copier, and it's just pandemonium, a mess. Now, that's having a bad day. I watched another one of people, and this you can find everywhere. Matter of fact, you can't stop finding this. A person goes into Walmart to try to get the deal of the day and grabs five or six of them, and other people see that they have five or six and there's none left over for everybody else, so they get into a fist fight. And then pretty soon everybody is fighting in the Walmart, and the deal of the day is breaking as it falls onto the ground. Now that is a bad day. The reason I wanted to show you these videos is because I was trying to show you that there are people in this world that simply don't live a life of joy. And the littlest thing causes them to get very upset. And I didn't show you the video because I'm not sure it's just a question about joy. I think it may be a question about whether or not they're mentally balanced or not. But then I think about the own times in my life, and maybe this has happened to you, where you get so upset that your mind just shuts off. Has this ever happened? That you lash out at the world around you, that you get so angry and so upset that it just becomes a problem in your life, and you lash out at everybody. So I'm not sure. I think you'd have enjoyed it, but I think in another way it may have made you cringe. So I'm not showing them to you this morning. But there's a common theme in all these videos. No matter where you look, no matter how it happens, there's a common theme in every single one of them. And the common theme is this: life's not fair. That's the common theme. Life's not fair. And sometimes when life's not fair, you put the computer on the printer and nothing comes out and you just get so upset because life is not fair. And you know this is true. We don't all start at the same time. We don't all start with the same gifts. We don't start with the same benefits in our life. Born in very, very good circumstances. Some people are born in very, very horrible circumstances. Simply not fair. We know that. And some people have been more fortunate than others. And some people, quite honestly, have been at the bottom of the deck. The bottom of the deck. I think about my own life. My life has been fairly easy. My path has been, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations and struggles in my life. But honestly, my life's been actually quite nice. I live in a good country. I live in a great place. I had great parents. But for a lot of people, those benefits don't exist. The question that Paul wants to ask today in our scripture meeting is, how do you find joy in the midst of all this unfairness? Because If all of us are experiencing unfairness, but God is calling us to be joyful people, where do you find the joy? Where does it come from? That's what we're going to look like today. That's what we're going to look at today. As we conclude our sermon series on faithful stewards, if you'll remember, we talked initially about serving sacrificially. The other was intentionally. Today we're going to talk about being joyful. Joyful stewards. And I want to look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 8 and 9, Paul is challenging the Corinthian church. I want to take you back to 2 Corinthians and just explain this a little bit. There was a huge need for money, for funds, for things in the Jerusalem church. And so, Paul, in his missionary journey, goes to Macedonia, starts a church, and in the Macedonian church, they hear about this need that's happening in the Jerusalem church. And so they give, and they give generously to the Jerusalem church. As a matter of fact, they give so generously that Paul's kind of proud of this. It's like, wow, this is a lot that they have given to the Jerusalem church. This is wonderful. But what Paul wants to do is convince the Corinthian church that they need to do the same thing, that they need to find it within their heart to find the joy and to give to the Jerusalem church. And so that's the whole setup to Acts or to Romans chapter 8. Need to know about them. This is the word. I think I'll move this to the front. Maybe that'll help a little bit. This is what Paul says. In the midst of a very severe trial, this is the Macedonian churches, in the midst of their very severe trial, their overflowing joy with their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. They had some sort of very severe trial. Now, I don't know what this very severe trial is. I mean, what are the severe trials that you have in your life? I mean, yeah, the alarm clock didn't go off and we'd be late to work, or my breakfast cereal was cold or something like that. Well, I'll tell you what probably the severe trial was in the Macedonian churches. It was probably famine. It was probably drought. It was probably some sort of disease. Or maybe it was some sort of political dysfunction where the ruler was actually oppressing the people like crazy. Something like that. And these trials that happened in that time period weren't just being hungry or thirsty for a day. It was being hungry or thirsty for a long, protracted period of time to the point where probably many people died, or the disease took over, or the political dysfunctionality took over. These were very, very severe trials. We don't really face this in the U.S., do we? We turn on the water and it comes out of the faucet. We go to Safeway and there's food. We have political dysfunction, I know that. But we don't live under a brutal dictatorship. At least not today. That's true, severe trials. But Paul goes on. He says it wasn't just severe trials, but they had extreme poverty. Now, we don't know what extreme poverty is, do we? You think extreme poverty is in the United States, right? Actually, the bottom 15% of the United States lives better than the upper or the 50% of the world around us. There are people, the definition of extreme poverty is $1.90 a day is what you're living on, equivalent to U.S. dollars, $1.90 a day. That's extreme poverty. And apparently it is in this world, according to the OECD, over 1 billion people in this world live in extreme poverty. Extreme poverty. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know where they're going to sleep at night. The dangers are horrible. This is extreme poverty. Now, you would think that under these situations, living under extreme poverty and under severe trials, that this church would have problem meeting the needs in Jerusalem. But Paul goes on. Listen to this. This is verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of the severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Did you get that? The grace of God was added together in the midst of a severe trial, overflowing joy, and it welled up in rich generosity. In other words, you have extreme poverty, you have severe trial, but when you add to that God's overflowing grace and overflowing joy, it wells up in rich generosity. Or, if you put it the other way, you could say, these things, these trials, these tribulations, whenever God's grace is present, and whenever there's generosity, there's joy, because the two go together. Isn't that amazing? Severe trial plus extreme poverty, add grace of God and rich generosity, and there's overflowing joy. Now, my friends, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because when you are experiencing a severe trial in life, I know what you want to do. You want to raise your hand and say, hey, I'm experiencing a trial. I'm the one that needs all the help. And a lot of times we do that. But the Macedonian churches didn't. They looked at their poverty and trials and saw God's grace and God's joy. You see, there's two ways to look at the hand that we've been dealt in life. The one is this: we can look at our life as one of scarcity. We can look at what everybody else has and we can get jealous and upset that somehow life has missed us and we don't have the same things that they have. And so we lash out at other people and we go off on others because we don't have what they have and life's not fair. And by golly, we're going to be upset about it. And this is hard for us in America, isn't it? Because you turn on any television or any radio station and they're trying to sell you stuff to say that this is stuff that you deserve. You know, you may not have this now, but you certainly deserve it. So why don't you go and buy it and that'll make you feel better. And so the whole entire United States economy is built upon this, about how life isn't fair and you deserve these things. Folks, that is a life of scarcity. That is living a life of scarcity, because there's another way to look at it. The other way is a life of abundance. Look at what we do have. In this model, we are grateful for everything that God gives us. No matter how small, no matter how little, you wake up and you just thank God for whatever He has given you. And what has He given us? He's given us all sorts of gifts. But the greatest gift is that we live in His kingdom. That because of the sacrifice of Jesus, that He came and became flesh and lived among us, He showed us that we can live and we are part of His kingdom. I saw a movie the other day, and I'm not even going to mention the name of it or whatever, but it was a movie about this person who has to do something. If he doesn't get this thing done, then he turns into an animal of his choosing. That's the whole premise of the movie. I know it sounds kind of crazy, and I'm being very nebulous, because it was a really disturbing movie, because who in their right mind would ever choose to try to take a lesser animal than a human being, right? I mean, that would be crazy. How many of you want to wake up tomorrow and you're a pig, or you want to wake up tomorrow and you're a dog or a cat or something like that? Well, we wouldn't do that. It's crazy. Let me show you this. Jesus woke up one morning as a human and became flesh and dwelt among us so that He could show us the true path to joy. That's what He did. I don't have anything to share. I don't have anything. Well, that's not true. You have life, you have happiness, you have joy in your life. I was at the mechanic the other day, and this lady came in. She was having a very bad day. You could tell she was having a very bad day. We don't know what it was that she was having a bad day about, but it could have been one of those things that you're like, man, should I get out my video camera? Post it on YouTube? You can just tell she was having a bad day. And there was this guy in the lobby, and he simply just smiled at her. And it was one of them, I wish I had a picture of it. It was one of the most warm, enduring. It was a smile that said, I know you're having a bad day, but life's not all that bad. And here's a smile for you. And the whole temperature of the room changed from a simple smile. say, I don't have anything to give is not true. God gave you a mouth. You can smile with it. Ultimately, everything we have in this life is from God, and it's a gift for Him to give us to share with others. Now, here's the kicker in verse 8, real quick. This is what Paul says. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. In other words, what Paul is saying is that all these things, all this giving, all the living your life generously for other people, all of that, it is a sign of love. Now, I know what you're thinking. Love, right, is a feeling. Love is, oh, I love you so much. Let me put my arms around you and just hug you and I love you. Yes, that is love, but it's not the biblical definition of love. The biblical definition of love is giving of yourself for somebody else. According to Paul, I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. When we, even in the midst of our trials and our tragedies and our poverty, give of ourselves to somebody else, that is love. If someone's having a bad day, give them a hug, that's love. If somebody's hurting, give them your time, that's love. If someone's going through a hard time, give them encouragement, that's love. If somebody is just hurting so bad that they need somebody to talk to, be a Stephen minister, sit down with them, listen to them. That's love. Everything that we have in our life, our time, our talents, and our treasures, are a gift from God to share with the world around us, to show His love to the world around us. And here's the kicker. Those things, when you do that, that's the source of true joy in this world. That's the source of true joy in this world. It doesn't matter how much you've been given. It doesn't matter if you're at the top of the food chain or the bottom of the food chain. It doesn't matter if God dealt you this great hand or God didn't deal you a very good hand at all. All of us are called at some level to share our lives and share our resources and share God's gifts with other people. And when you do that, that's the true source of joy. And it shows God's love in this world. I don't know what you think may make you happy in this world that will make you everlasting joy, something, somebody, some object. But the only true source of joy is Jesus. He's the foundation. Story is told one day that a beggar by the roadside asked for alms, asked for something from Alexander the Great as he passed by. The man was poor and wretched and had no claim upon the ruler, no right even to ask for alms. And yet the emperor threw him several gold coins. One of his servants was astonished at Alexander's generosity, and he said, "Sir, you threw gold coins. This guy, he could have had copper coins. He'd have been so happy. Why'd you throw him gold coins?" And Alexander responded this way. He said, "Copper coins may have suited him, but gold coins suit me." My friends, we serve a gold coin God, a God who loved us so much that He gave us the greatest gold coin of all. And that was His Son, to live among us and to show us the true path to joy. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, I thank You so much for every gift, for every blessing that You bestowed upon us. Lord, we don't deserve it at all. We don't deserve anything that You give us. But we are so grateful and thankful for it. Lord, fill us with Your love and Your peace and You so that we have the strength to share the gifts that You've given us to the world around us. And Lord, fill us through that with Your incredible joy because You truly are the source of all joy. Lord, we pray this for the sake and through the name of Your Son, our joy. It's in His name we pray. Amen. At this point, I direct your attention to the screen for some thoughtful, reflective questions.